Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Scully?
Yes?
Marry me.
I love you and I like you.
I love you and I like you.
I love that woman. I love her more than sharks love blood.
I love you.
You don't.
Hello, I'm Tristan Riddell.
And I'm the girl.
And this is episode 37 of Nerd Nuptial. We are still in Halloween mode. That's right. This is the third October episode, and we are thoroughly excited to give it to you guys. And we want to thank you for all that you do for the network. And going to our website at thenerdparty.com, going to our Facebook page and giving us a like at facebook.com/thenerdparty. And also for going to our Twitter and messaging us there, because a lot of people have been doing that. And that's at our Twitter handle is @joinnerdparty. And we just started an Instagram account where you'll get some personal pictures from your hosts, from new nerd merchandise that we buy and everything like that. And mainly the On This Day, which seems to be very popular on Twitter, where we post movies that were released on this day or, you know, directors who were born on this day or something like that. So just go on Instagram, search The Nerd Party, and you'll find us. Give us a follow and talk to us there.
We also got a 5-star review.
That's right, we did. Yes, we got a very robust review that whose intent was to convince you to subscribe by all means necessary. And we want to thank you, Juneland. Yes, thank you very much, Juneland, for the 5-star review and your very, very kind words about how we are the nerd voices of the 21st century.
It's a lot to live up to.
I know, that is a lot to live up to, so I hope this episode turns out pretty well. I'd hate to disappoint the 21st century.
No pressure.
But yes, thank you, Juneland, and if you guys are wondering if you can be cool like Juneland, you can, because you can go to iTunes and give us a review. And if you give us a 5-star review, we will mention you on the podcast like our friend Juneland. Now, we also have another friend who reached out to us, a friend of the show, Colin Higgins. He is, some of you have probably heard that name before. He's a member of the Trek FM network. And Colin, he sent us a couple of Halloween-specific questions, one more so than the other, but it really got me thinking, because he's in the UK and he said that the Halloween is not that big of a deal in the UK, but it's getting there, you know, it's growing. And he said that over there it's much more quote-unquote traditional costumes, like witches and ghosts and things like that. But then he's seeing the American Halloween, and he's seeing people dressed up like superheroes, like the Flash and Superman and things like that. And he's wondering, he's like, when did that happen? Like, what does the Flash have to do with All Hallows Eve? And then he also said, he's like, as soon to be nerd parents, how do you feel about DC and Marvel merchandise and shows and things like that being more geared towards adults instead of children? But we'll get back to that one. Let's go ahead and talk about his first question. So, costumes. Now, when we were growing up, do you remember having more? I feel like it's always kind of been that way.
Yeah,
though.
At least as long as we've been alive, I feel like it's never really been just ghosts and goblins and, you know, and witches. It's always been, what do you want to be?
Yeah.
For Halloween. And I feel like it's less about All Hallows Eve and more about like an excuse to dress up.
Yes.
And all things fall and those activities that go along with it.
And also, even with, like, if you wanted to go further back, if you wanted to look at masquerades, you know, like when people had masquerade balls or Halloween balls or everything like that, it was really just dressing up and wearing a mask. Like, mm-hmm. It was pretty much that was the costume, was just, like, wearing a ridiculous outfit and a mask.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember, like I said on the show before, you know, I was Batman many years. I was also a Ninja Turtle.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it's really anything new. So Colin, I'm sorry, we can't really answer your question because
long as we've known,
as long as we've been alive, it's been that way. And you know, I kind of feel like, you know, even when our parents were growing up, or maybe not, you know, when they were growing up, but around the time when they were younger, you know, like I remember seeing people dressed up from pop culture. Like, I remember seeing people dressed up like Spock as kids, you know, in the 60s and 70s and things like that.
Yeah, I don't feel like, I mean, maybe that was more, it was more popular just to be like a witch or a ghost or something like that. But I feel like there was still that element of like, you know, what are you going to be? Yeah. Like, I remember my parents also dressing up as characters.
Yeah.
Not really necessarily just the traditional.
Yeah, I remember my mom and dad would, I think, when I was growing up, they would go, they went to a few Halloween parties, and the one that I'm remembering is my dad was Henry the VIII, and I think mom was Boleyn.
Okay.
Anne Boleyn. I think so. She's probably screaming right now as she's listening to this. yeah, but yeah, he had the big poofy shirt and the hat and everything like that. So, I mean, those are historical figures, but it's not a ghoul, you know, right, it's not a ghost.
Right. I feel like it's more, I don't know, as long as we've been alive, it's always been more about dressing up as your favorite character or something like that. Yeah.
Well, maybe there's some listeners out there that can answer Colin's question for us. You know, like, we'll read it on the next show where, like, do you remember a time when it was just ghouls and goblins or ghosts or things like that? Like, when did it start to become commercialized? Because I feel like, you know, with the commercial aspect, there, like, when did some marketing genius just, did it dawn on them, oh man, we're missing out. Like, what? Why aren't, like, we can charge them to promote our TV show for us?
That's true. Like, this is popular this year. Let's put out a costume for it. Yeah, absolutely.
Whether it's like Twilight Zone or Edward R. Murrow. No, I'm just. I want to meet that kid.
I was going to say.
I want to be friends with that kid. Where in the 50s, they were dressed up like Edward R. Murrow.
That would be pretty awesome.
That would be freaking awesome. I think that's a good time right
there. I think
you know
so
what?
Too.
That's what I'm going to be for Halloween this year. Maybe. I'm going to paint myself black and white in shades of gray and just walk around smoking.
That would be pretty awesome. I think that would be pretty cool.
That does actually sound
pretty
cool.
That sounds like a pretty cool costume.
Like, I am grayscale, and people are like, who are you? I'm like, I'm Edward Murrow.
That's right.
Good night, good luck, yo. Oh. Well, okay, so there you go, Colin. Sorry. But yeah, I think, okay, how, growing up, did you have more homemade costumes or store-bought costumes?
Oh, I think homemade.
Yeah?
For sure, yeah. Like, there was one year where, for Thanksgiving, we were supposed to, like, have, like, a Thanksgiving feast or something like that. And so my mom made me, like, a pilgrim costume. And that's what I wore for Halloween. I was a pilgrim because that's what she made. Mm-hmm. And there was one time when I went to a party and it was like a Mother Goose themed, like, you know, like fairy tale. Well, I guess, you know, like those type of stories. Mm-hmm. And whatever cost, I think I actually went as Mother Goose because we didn't quite understand the idea. You were supposed to be a character from Mother Goose. So I went as Mother Goose. And that was my Halloween costume.
Well, you topped it all. Like, you were.
I was. Yeah. And actually, there was, like, a picture of the kids' party. And I was, like, I was in the center because I was, yeah, that character.
You had to be the center of attention.
Well, I didn't purposely. My mom felt bad later. She's like, I'm sorry. I thought it was supposed to be.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. So, like, I just now remembered this story. And I'm surprised that I didn't bring it up last week. So, I was invited to a Halloween party, and it was a high school, wait, was it high school? It was late middle school, early high school. I can't remember which one. It was late middle school, which makes it even more embarrassing.
I was going to say, that's such an awkward age.
Such an awkward age. I got, you know, like, I had the weird, you know, half mustache and everything like that. I was pretty excited because this was the first Halloween party I'd ever been to.
Okay.
And, like, never went to even a kid's Halloween party. It was really just trick-or-treating up until then.
Sure.
And I was just like, hey, I'm in middle school. It's eighth grade, you know, like, or, you know, seventh grade or something like that. Like, I'm going to go to a Halloween party. I'm going to have some punch, maybe kiss a girl and and everything like that. And so I dress up, no joke, I am not making this up, a male version of Seven of Nine.
No.
Yes.
No, you did not.
I'm a liberated Borg.
That's amazing.
I'm wearing all silver, and I have the makeup where it's like the eyepiece and everything like that. And then, like, I draw the stuff on her left hand, like on mine and everything like that. Like, she's wearing this weird, like, glove.
Uh-huh.
And I'm stoked about my costume. Like, I do not give a crap about gender roles. I'm like, I'm going, and this is going to be fun. I show up, I'm the only one in a costume.
No.
There are,
that's painful.
There are at least 40 kids there.
You're so excited about your costume.
Yeah. Like, mom and dad helped me with my makeup.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
I was the only one in a costume.
That's so painful.
And right when I walk in the door, everybody's wearing normal clothes.
What'd you do?
I joined the party.
Did you really?
Yeah, I didn't run out or walk out. But, like, everybody looked at me and started laughing.
Sure.
And they said, they're like, what's the deal? And I said, I was like, it's Halloween. This is a Halloween party. I was like, and like I said to this group of 40, you guys should feel awkward.
See, that's not normal. That is not a normal reaction as a middle schooler to say, screw all of you.
Well, I was embarrassed at first.
Okay.
I was thoroughly embarrassed at first.
But then you just kind of went with it.
And then I just had to own it. You know, like, what else could I do? Could I just run away and be embarrassed and then everybody would talk about it?
See, I don't know what I would have done. I think I probably would have ran away.
Yeah?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think that's more typical.
No, I was embarrassed. Like, I had that moment of sheer terror. Mm-hmm. I had about 15 seconds of, oh my God, this is going to suck.
You know what this reminds me of? Mean Girls. Where... Okay, I unabashedly love that movie.
It's a great movie.
And yeah, so there's that moment where she's new to the school. She's been homeschooled in like a different country until this point. It's a Halloween party. So mm-hmm. she goes as an ex-wife where she's got like, you know, a bridal dress on and she's got
she's
blood.
Dead.
Yeah, she's dead. And
she's got vampire teeth.
Yeah, exactly. And then she walks into the party and everyone's like dressed as slutty whatever.
Yeah, slutty
like,
cat.
Yeah, you know, exactly. Yeah. Like, I'm a mouse. Like, no.
You're duh. Not. Ears. Duh.
And then she walks in and everyone's like, "Ugh, why are you scary?" And she's like, "It's Halloween." That reminds me of that.
That it was like that, but even worse. Because everyone else was wearing jeans and a t-shirt.
Oh my gosh. Oh my
and
gosh.
I was a genderless 7 of 9. Or a gender swapped 7 of 9.
Yeah, gender swapped.
I should say.
And you were so excited.
I was super excited because...
You're like, this is awesome.
Yeah. It's that.
Aww.
It was so utterly... like, you cannot write that stuff.
No, no.
Like, if you put that in a movie, people would be like, that's unbelievable.
That would never happen.
That would never happen. It's a Halloween party.
No, no, that didn't.
But surprisingly, the middle school crowd was not as vicious as they could have been.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Because that's a rough age.
Oh my gosh.
That's a rough age.
Horrible, horrible age. Like, it is just absolute terror to be a middle schooler. I remember there was an episode of Family Guy where the kids swap places with the parents. And so the kids were like... You know, like she stayed at home and he went to Peter's job and Peter and Lois went to high school.
Mm-hmm.
And then like after a week, they're just like, how do you do this? Like the social norms, the expectations, it's a minefield, it's a jungle. It's so true.
It's so true.
It's so completely true. Well, speaking of costumes or, you know, actually like we had a segue with that where we were talking about I showed up as a Star Trek character. Like I kind of bridged the gap where it wasn't a store-bought costume, but it was something in pop culture. I was, mm-hmm. it was something
sure,
from Star Trek.
But you made it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your own.
I made it myself from scratch. And mm-hmm. It wasn't a goblin. It wasn't, mm-hmm. it wasn't a vampire or anything like that.
Yeah. We didn't really do too many store-bought costumes. It was mainly, okay, what do we have that you could go as, or what could my mom make, so I would choose our costumes early so she mm-hmm. could make it or something like that.
I remember there was only, I think, my first Batman costume and I was Raphael, a Ninja Turtle. I really wanted to be Leonardo, but all they had was Raphael and I was super pissed.
Oh.
So it's fine. I'm over it.
Yeah, sure. Even though you bring it up every Halloween.
But yeah, like the one Batman costume and the one Ninja Turtle, that was the only store-bought. The rest, we had store-bought pieces
mm-hmm.
where like, you know, like I would get maybe a mask or like a laser gun or something like that. But other than that, it was really just stuff we had around the house or like stuff from mom's old closet.
That's how ours was too. Yeah, my mom had a cedar chest. And so, like, a lot of her old stuff, you know, from when she was growing up, we had in there. And it was like, go to the cedar chest, see what Halloween costume you can come up with.
Now, Colin's second question about DC and Marvel gearing more towards adults than kids, he was mainly talking about programming. But I kind of want to steal that and jump off of that because you and I went shopping today.
Mm-hmm.
And we went into Gap Kids,
mm-hmm,
just to see what they had and see what kind of, you know, kids clothing they had for our future little girl. And they just released, they had a sign for it that said like, hey, superhero stuff here today.
Mm-hmm.
And they had some amazing DC stuff.
And for girls, like specifically for girls.
And but the like...
Or it, got boys. Like it was both.
Boys and girls.
Yeah.
But it wasn't stereotypical like pink stuff.
No, it wasn't. Yeah. It was almost like classic too.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas it wasn't like, you know, sometimes when you see like a screen shirt, it kind of looks cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas these looked really nice. Like sweaters.
These were mainly like designs, mm-hmm, of superheroes and like designs of logos and integration of logos and like silhouettes of superheroes. It wasn't that screen printed like, oh, that's the cast of Guardians of the Galaxy.
Or right. Like,
oh, those, that's the Trinity from Batman
v
Superman.
It was stylized.
Yeah, it was very stylized. Very cool.
Like we would have worn those pieces if they made them for adults.
Yeah, like adults could easily wear that and not just look like an average nerd. Mm-hmm. Like you could get away with wearing that as an actual outfit.
Well, and I was just really impressed that they were pushing it for girls.
Because mm-hmm,
like on the mannequins, it was like, you know, a Batman hoodie, but it was clearly like put with girl pants.
Yeah.
And like there was a Wonder Woman sweater, like this really cool picture of like her mm-hmm taking off. And she, it was just very like classy,
minimalistic.
Like, minimalistic. It was just really nice to see that they were not just pushing it for the boys, because you usually see that type of stuff for the boys, but mm-hmm also for the girls. Or you'd have it for both genders. Like you could see it in both sections.
And with like the girl Batman stuff, like you saw black tulle tutu, with you know like a gold and black top. And but it was for a girl.
And it was Batman, yeah.
It was but it was using Batman's colors.
Yeah.
And so normally you would see like a bat logo that's pink and then red tulle for no reason, mm-hmm, and it's just because it has the bat symbol on it. But this was very much like you could tell.
Yeah.
This was designed for the super fan.
Yeah, it was. It was totally awesome. So it was just kind of refreshing after, you know, talking about you know, girl stuff and also I know that people were talking about that DC like high school version of all these DC characters.
DC like what, like
superhero high or something like that.
Something like that. It's like DC girls super super high school or something like that. Almost super high sounds wrong.
super high.
I'm blanking on the name, but yeah, there's this new, I don't know if it's a web show or a cable show or something like that, where it's about all these DC girl characters like Supergirl, Wonder Woman, Harley Quinn, mm-hmm, Catwoman, and everything like that. Poison Ivy. They're all kind of good. Like there's no villains really, but they're all going to Supergirl High School. And it's very much about empowerment, and it's geared towards the female gender, and it's just really, really cool. And I feel like DC is... There's still a lot of work to be done.
Oh, yeah.
But I feel like DC is just a little bit ahead of the curve than when it comes to Marvel, when compared to Marvel.
When you mean with like the gender
stuff? Like gearing more towards
the girls.
Towards girls, not just shrinking it and pinking it. You know, just, yeah.
Yeah, I can see that a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
I mean.
I don't want to give them too much credit.
Yeah, I was going to say. But it was just nice to see some of that stuff.
It was really great. So if you have kids and you're looking for that kind of stuff, go to Gap Kids. They just released it. Gap, you can send us the check whenever you want. But yeah, check
we'll
it out.
We'll spend it on all of your merchandise.
It's true. It was more expensive than
expensive.
I thought it was
going to be. Yeah, it was a little expensive. So
like one little,
I'm sure
little
we'll
onesie
be gifted
is
some of that stuff from our
$25
family.
And one little stocking cap is $18.
Yeah.
That's insane for someone who's going to grow out of it in 6 months.
Yeah, it is. I guess like, you know, If you really want it.
If you really want it, yeah. There's lots of things that I really, really want. But so, yeah, to answer Colin's original question. So DC and Marvel gearing more towards adults lately. I think he's talking about programming like when you look at Gotham, mm-hmm. the TV show on Fox, or Daredevil and Jessica Jones on Netflix and everything like that. Clearly geared towards mm-hmm. adults, not for the childhood audience whatsoever.
Right.
You know, because, you know, 75 years ago when these comics came out, it was geared towards children. It mm-hmm. was fun picture books that, you know, cost a nickel or whatever. And that's exaggeration, but you know what I mean. Everything back then cost a nickel.
That's right. Back in my day.
Back in my day. And then all of a sudden, like, Colin, I feel like the answer to your question is this generation and the generation before have refused to grow up. And I don't mean that in an absolutely negative way. I'm just saying that we all still have toys on our desks. We all still read comic books. Yeah, we're in that books. Category. Yeah, yeah. And like our generation and the one before, I feel like, you know, like we have the movie posters on our walls. We go and spend insane amounts of money on collectibles from our childhood.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like the generation before that one was like, okay, well, you know, when I was a child, I played with childish things. And then when I was an adult, I put them away.
Right.
We never put them away.
No.
And so DC...
In fact, right now we're having a hard time putting them
away. Oh my gosh, we should talk about that. So, okay, so sidetrack. Or like some of you might have seen, if you follow me on Instagram, you've seen me. Like I had my hand up against the wall and it was a blank wall. And I said, I was like, I had to take down all my Star Trek stuff to make room for the baby. And we're going through that right now. Like, we're changing our office, our nerdasium, into a nursery.
Yeah. And it's like a struggle. It's like really a struggle. And it's a struggle for both of us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's like this where we live, we only have two bedrooms.
Yeah.
And so one is an office, one is our bedroom. And so we still need it to function somewhat as an office. So like half of it will be an office and the other half will be her room. And obviously like babies don't take up that much space right away other than all their gear. So we're trying to transfer over and still make it like her room. So it feels like it's not, you know, us just kind of putting
your baby in a corner.
Yeah.
Is that where that phrase comes from? That where Dirty Dancing got it?
There you go. It all makes sense.
It's all coming together. That is why nobody puts baby in a corner.
That's right.
Because some jerk had to put their nerd stuff away.
That's right. Yeah. So even today we were, we've kind of all week been putting away different things. Like little knickknacks.
Here's the thing. All week we've been putting away my stuff. And today is the first day that we had to put some of your geek stuff away.
That's kind
of
true.
And that's why you're just like, oh, it's been really hard.
Well, you had more stuff on the walls than I did.
Yes.
Because I didn't really have that much stuff to hang up.
No, I had cool stuff on the walls.
Yes, I know.
You had pictures of Paris. There.
Shut up. Places I've been. And we're struggling.
Because you had an entire shelf devoted to Harley Quinn.
Yeah, yeah. And
so we started putting all the little, like we picked two Harley Quinns that we could keep out in the open. And then the rest we had to put in a plastic bag and then put in a tub. And then we're going to put that tub in a basement.
Yeah.
And we're boxing away our...
We keep reminding ourselves. We're just like, it's not forever.
It's temporary.
It's temporary.
It's temporary.
It's, you know, until we find a bigger place. It's
until
okay.
we get a third bedroom.
That's
yeah.
right. So it's going to be okay. It's like we soothe each other throughout the process.
It's hard, too, because we have so many DVDs mm-hmm. and Blu-rays mm-hmm. that they take up three bookshelves.
Yeah.
And we're trying to get it down to two bookshelves.
Yeah.
And so we're like, okay, well, let's box away some of the stuff that
is on Netflix.
It's on Netflix. So let's box away some of the TV shows mm-hmm. that are on Netflix. And so we're boxing away like That 70s Show, American Dad, you know, Family Guy, Gilmore Girls. But the one that almost broke my heart,
I know,
was The X-Files.
Because if listeners remember, that was like the first show that you actually bought on DVD.
That is the very first show that I bought on DVD. It was the first complete season. Mm-hmm. And all 9 seasons are the original
huge box sets.
Like, none of that slim packaging that they re-released. These are the originals when they first opened up, and it's huge.
Yeah.
Each case is gigantic and beautiful. It's gorgeously made.
Yeah.
It was a set piece. It was something I wanted to show people.
Yes.
Where they walk in, I'm like, yeah, you're eyeing the original 9 seasons of the X-Files, aren't you? Well, let me tell you a story. And now that's gone.
I know, one side's Scully and one side's Mulder, and you would like occasionally switch them up.
Yeah, I didn't want to show favoritism to
to
Fox or Mulder. So I'd
Fox or Scully.
Season 1 would be Scully, season 2 would be Fox, season 3 would be Scully, and sometimes I would alternate.
That's right. Yeah, but that's in a box now.
That's in a box, in a tub, in a basement. It burns.
We're growing up, and it's hard.
Oh, I'm having severe growing pains.
Yeah.
Through this entire process.
I know. It's hard.
And like I had a 45th anniversary mosaic of the original Enterprise. It was a mosaic of individual pictures of like user submitted pictures of like selfies and, you know, and a couple photos and everything like that. And that mosaic made up the original Enterprise. And they also sent you a certificate of authenticity. And what number out of the, I think, 2,000 or something like that? They didn't sell that many. And I had, mine was number 0001.
You were so proud of that.
I had the first
one. You framed it.
Not only did I frame the mosaic poster, I framed the certificate of authenticity.
Yes, you did.
Because it had a picture of us.
Right.
With the number 0001 out of 2,000.
Right.
And I was so utterly proud of that. And then I had to take it down. It hurt so bad.
I know. Yeah. So.
Anyways.
I know. I totally sidetracked you. But that was something that's going on with our lives right now.
It's very much going on with our lives right now. So I think to circle back, I think that's the issue. Is that DC and Marvel know that we have our walls adorned with Batman and Wonder Woman and Star Trek and Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
They know that. They know that we are the generation that did not put their toys away. They know that I'm going to spend $75 on a limited black and white edition of Harley Quinn. Like, no adult should do that. Like, our parents would never do that.
Yeah, and they roll their eyes at us.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it.
They're like, this is what you spend your money on?
Right.
Like, yes, it makes me happy.
Exactly. And it does.
It does.
It genuinely does.
It gives me tons of joy. It gives you joy.
And, it does.
And we do that. And there's so many times we'll go to a comic book store, whether our local one, like whenever we travel somewhere, if we find a comic book store, we go there and we buy something to support local comic book stores.
Yeah, just because.
Just because. And like, we saw a Harley Quinn, a limited edition Harley Quinn statue.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, oh man, that would go great on our, you know, on our shelf. But like, it's $120.
Yeah, we're not that crazy. But
you're like, should we get that or groceries? Which one should we get?
Depends on the week.
Absolutely. And so, Colin, I think that's your answer. That is why you're seeing all this programming geared towards adults.
Well, and to bounce off of that, I feel like the reason why we see – and I think it's okay. Like, I'm okay with it because I feel like we have options for kids to watch DC and Marvel, like their version of it.
Yes.
And then they can just continue, like, when they're ready.
Absolutely.
Like, I'm not going to show my kid The Dark Knight. Because they like Batman at age 5.
Oh no, we're not gonna.
That's too. They're
we're
too
not,
young.
We're not gonna show Baby Riddell The Dark Knight at age 5.
No, we're
age 4.
Oh my god. Oh my gosh.
I was thinking about putting up a screen above their crib and just putting it on loop.
Yeah. Okay. Uh huh.
So their first words will be, "Want to know how I got these scars?"
Oh my gosh, stop.
Is that freaking you out?
Yeah, that would be freaky.
Hit me.
No.
Change me.
You're terrible. You're so bad. No. I feel like there's like cartoons for them. Mm-hmm. There's other stuff for them. And then they can kind of grow into it just like we did.
Yeah.
You know, we watched the Batman the Animated Series and stuff like that. And now we can watch the adult version of it.
The Dark Knight. Yeah.
So I'm okay with it. I mean, I'm sure that there's going to be a time when, you know, our kid sees a trailer and they're going to be like, why can't I watch that too?
Yeah.
But I love Batman, but I love, you know, and I'm sure that's going to be a difficult conversation because it's going to be like, no, you're not ready for that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's one that, you know, it's okay because we get our version of it too.
Well, I mean, my cousins have had their that conversation with their little boys because they're huge Batman fans. And but they've never seen the Dark Knight trilogy.
Right.
You know, they've seen the animated series. You know, they've seen Batman Brave and the Bold. They've seen all those cartoons and everything like that. But they haven't seen the Dark Knight. And I remember they have Dark Knight toys. You know, they have all that cool stuff. And, you know, I saw them with their specifically the Dark Knight toys. And I started talking about them. I was just like, oh, I was like, do you like that movie? What part of the movie? And they're like, we haven't seen it.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And I know that conversation will have to happen. But. Yeah. I think I'm okay with it at the moment.
Well, you have to, you know, you have to be. You're like, I'm not going to show, I know, of course I'm joking, but like, I'm not going to show a five-year-old some crazy clown talking about slicing his face open.
Right.
You know, that's bad parenting. Now, would my father have done that? Probably. Probably.
Just fast forward through the actual,
stuff. Yeah. You know, he's great with the fast forward button.
That's right. There you go.
But yeah, no, I agree with you completely, absolutely and utterly. I believe that it's you have the kid stuff and you have the adult stuff. And that's the beauty of these characters is that you can have both versions. There's tons of Marvel cartoons. True. There's tons of DC cartoons on Netflix. And there's like the Avengers Unlimited that's just for kids. And even with Star Wars, you have the Clone Wars and Rebels, even though they skirt the line sometimes.
Do they?
Yeah. There's a few episodes where I'm just like, oh my God, like this is for kids? Are you sure? But yeah, I think that's the beautiful, thing is that these people, these marketers know that they don't have just one demographic.
Right.
Their demographic is almost everybody.
Yeah.
It's not just 5 to 12. It's 5 to 65. And it's not just men, it's women. And so why wouldn't you market to them? Because they want their money. And we're going to give it to them because nerds spend more money than any other demographic, I think.
It's true.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, we did talk about a couple of weeks ago, we talked about how we were going to mention some of our favorite sitcom Halloween episodes. But this
or cartoon.
What?
Or cartoon.
Or cartoons, yeah. But this, I mean, we're at the 30-minute mark, so like we probably won't talk about this too terribly long. But, you know, one thing that you and I love to do, whether it's Christmas time or Halloween time or anything like that, it's not just watch those movies, but it's go to our favorite TV shows and watch those episodes.
Yeah, I love doing that.
I loved themed episodes.
Absolutely. Yeah. What are some of your favorites?
Well, okay, I'm bringing up my list here. I think, like,
this time you made a list.
I did make a list, yeah. You're not the only industrious one. So one thing that, like, we really love that, and we've only talked about a few times on here, is Bob's Burgers. They have some great Halloween episodes.
They really do.
And if you guys are not watching Bob's Burgers, go and watch it. Give it at least 3 episodes and you will be hooked.
It's so funny. It's so great. I love it. One of my favorite Halloween episodes that they have is the episode called Full Bars, where they go trick-or-treating around their neighborhood and they get, like, you know, sad stuff like raisins and, you know, like
toothbrushes
and, well, like, just random things like they have left over. And so they get on a ferry and they go to Kingshead Island.
Yeah.
And it's like this magical place to them because they give out full bars.
It's where all the ritzy people live, full and, like, candy, it's their bars. Vacation homes and things. Yeah.
Full candy bars. And I think that is just such a funny episode.
I remember there's one moment where the family was vacationing and they put out a bowl and they said, help yourselves. And it was all full candy bars. And Louise, one of the kids, is just like, oh my God, it's full candy bars in a bowl. Was this a mistake? Did they know that they did this? And every kid has had that moment where it was like you had they left a bowl out.
Yeah.
Because they didn't want to get egged.
Right, sure.
For not answering the door. And I was the loser kid who only took one.
I was too. I was totally that kid too.
Because my mom ingrained it in me You do not ask for more.
Yeah.
You only grab one and you say thank you and then you walk away.
That's right.
There was one, this stuck with me hard. There was one time I tried to grab another one and the person at the door said, no, no, just one. And then my mom was at the end of the driveway and I meet her at the end of the driveway. She's like, I heard what happened. I heard that woman say only one. I know it was you. I was like, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to disappoint you.
That's awesome.
You know you're only supposed to take one, Tristan. I just remember just being so ashamed.
Like you knew.
I feel like such a glutton. But yeah, there was another, my favorite Halloween Bob's Burgers episode is the one we actually watched today, where Louise said that she couldn't get scared.
Mm-hmm.
She could not get scared. She could predict everything. Like they saw her, like they showed flashbacks where she's like, oh, it's a haunted house. There's a coffin. I wonder what's going to jump out at me.
And then, right, like, right.
You know, just filled with stuff like that. And so what they do is actually, you know, I don't really want to ruin the episode.
I don't want it either. But they figure out a way that they're kind of trying to figure out a way to scare her.
Yeah.
And it doesn't go very well. And then you have to kind of watch the episode.
You have to watch the episode. Yeah, I don't want to really want to ruin anything because Bob's Burgers is one of those things where it is really popular.
It's the latest season one, yeah.
Yeah, and it's been on, I think it's on its seventh season?
Seventh, I think.
Yeah, it's been on for 7 years. That's insane. But yet I still don't meet that many people out in the wild who have seen it or watched it. It has to be popular if it's been going on for that long.
Mm-hmm.
But people who aren't watching it, watch it. Like, I don't really say that often.
Yeah.
Now, you really like Office Halloween episodes.
Well, they don't have too many. It's more of like the intro is all like Halloween episodes.
Oh, okay.
But it's always fun to like see what characters they dress as. Like the one year, like everyone was dressed as Joker the year that The Dark Knight came out, and they all like, you know, like had a different line, and they all like ended up, you know, it was just like frustrated that they all had the same costume. There was also another episode where Pam is in a new office. And she's dressed as Charlie Chaplin, and she's adorable.
She is adorable as Charlie Chaplin.
And
you would be really adorable as Charlie Chaplin. I think that needs to happen.
And she dresses as Charlie Chaplin in this awesome costume, and she walks in, and no one is dressed up. And she's like, and I can't even remove my hat, because then I'm Hitler. That was so funny. So great.
So great.
So she has to go through the whole day like that.
As Charlie Chaplin, yeah. Mm-hmm. Almost Hitler.
Yeah.
I think it wasn't Jim dressed as a three-hole punch where he just had three circles on him?
Yes. You know, they always have where he just kind of like, one time he like puts the name Book on his face. He's Facebook.
He's Facebook.
Yeah, just like he never is into Halloween. So, yeah.
And then like he put on like a name tag that was somebody else's name.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, no, I'm not Jim, I'm John.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, one, I think when I say the words slutty pumpkin.
How I Met Your Mother.
What does that mean to you then?
How I Met Your Mother, yeah.
Those are
good episodes.
And that was season one.
Yeah.
Season one of How You Met Your Mother is golden.
It is.
Like, that is one of those seasons. It's kind of like That 70s Show,
mm-hmm.
where every single episode of the first season is just a home run.
Like a classic.
Yes.
Like, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
It's kind of like the Friends titles where it's like, oh yeah, it's the one where,
mm-hmm.
and everybody know, like just from the title, everybody knows what it is. And the Slutty Pumpkin is the episode where they're having a Halloween party on the roof and Ted dresses as a hanging Chad every single year because that was what he was dressed as when he met the Slutty Pumpkin.
Yes.
And he lost her phone number. And so he was trying to get her, hopefully that she would come back and,
yeah.
and you know, she'd recognize him and everything like that. And it was just a really fun episode because it reintroduced the characters and reinforced who they were and what they were all about. And it was, I was sad that they solved the mystery of the Slutty Pumpkin.
Yeah, I kind of didn't want that to be solved. I kind of wanted to just kind of be there, like, each year.
Yeah.
That's kind of sad for the character of Ted, but at the same time, I kind of didn't want to see who that was.
And it ended up being Katie Holmes?
No, it wasn't.
What, wasn't it?
No, it was the woman from the Wonder Years.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was.
No, the woman from the Wonder Years was the one with the pineapple in the bedroom when he got the sore ankle and he had no idea why.
Yeah, but I thought it was the same one. Maybe I'm wrong.
Oh, I think you're. I think you're wrong. No, I'm not going to cut it out.
I don't think it was Katie Holmes, though.
You don't think it was Katie
Holmes? No, I don't think so.
Okay. Well, we'll look it up.
We're both wrong.
All right. Well, another one real quick is Greg Pakaitis from Parks and Rec.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
That is a great Halloween episode.
That is a great Halloween episode where he, Greg Pakaitis.
Is a teenager.
Yeah. And he vandalizes.
The inside of Parks and Rec.
And so they keep kind of trying to like get him. And
he just outsmarts them every single time. And like they actually end up capturing him illegally and taking him back to the office, and they quote unquote interrogate him. And
it's just Andy, and Andy ends up crying
because this kid is so mean that Andy Dwyer, Chris Pratt,
yeah,
just ends up crying. He's like, "Oh my god, are you crying?" He's like, "No, you're crying. I'm allergic to jerks." And he's like, "The kid is so mean." And Louis C.K. is in it.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah.
It's a great episode.
It is filled with a lot of great stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's another show that if you haven't watched it, give it a shot. Watch the first episode, skip the rest of season one, go to season two.
Yeah.
That is what I say to everyone. And then we mentioned That 70 Show earlier. Mm-hmm. They have two really great ones. Which was all Hitchcock homages, which you really appreciated.
I did. I know you didn't.
I appreciated the homages more than the source material.
Well, it was fun to see it that way. The episode, not quite as entertaining probably as the other one. Mm-hmm. But I think that it was still fun to see them actually try and do that.
Yeah.
And also Fez is dressed as Dr. Frankenfurter.
Yeah, that's so awesome. Like, he walks in as Frankenfurter and Kelso's like, "Oh my god, I don't know if you know this, but you're dressed like a lady."
Yeah.
Yeah, like Eric had vertigo and kept falling over.
Right.
Kitty had to go and feed the birds.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And there's like a phone booth in there for some reason.
Yeah. Yeah. And Kelso has a case of mistaken identity, and there's a remote control plane that's, you know, chasing him down. And it's just filled with stuff like that. And it's, even the best one, you know, like Fez hurts his ankle, and so he's in a wheelchair.
Yes.
He's spying on Midge.
And then they think that Bob killed Midge.
You know, yeah, it's great. It is great. And the other Halloween one was much, much simpler, where it was Fez's first Halloween, and so he was dressed as Batman.
Yes, that was
and
so good.
They were too old to trick-or-treat because they're in high school, girl.
Really? You're going to argue with me again?
Yeah, I'm still going to argue that. High school is too old to trick-or-treat.
You can trick-or-treat in high school.
No.
Yes,
no.
You can.
That 70 Show says you can't.
No. Fez did.
Fez did, just to get the full experience because he was a foreigner. Much like Colin from the UK. But, and then they go to their old elementary school, which was burned down.
Yeah, and they find their permanent records. And then they like read them, and they find out what Jackie's middle name is.
Beulah.
And they, you know, it's like this big reveal. And
they find out that Kelso had to repeat the third grade or something, like that. And so he was actually a year older and could have been buying them beer. And so they start fighting, and it's just a great episode. And so, yeah, and that's on Netflix and in HD. So check that out. And there was also one from Modern Family, which is not a show that we watch anymore. We gave up at the end of season 4.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's one that I'd like to give another shot.
Yeah, I do too.
You know?
I feel like we do that sometimes where we'll go back and we'll watch something and we're like, oh, we should have probably stuck with it. Although I do really enjoy binge watching later on. Like once the show kind of tapers off for us, I do really enjoy going back and watching it. We did that just recently with Downton Abbey.
We did that with Downton Abbey, where we gave up on it after season 4, and we didn't watch a single episode of season 5 or season 6, and we're like, okay, well, we'll try to get past the Anna storyline. And yeah, I was glad we did. It got pretty repetitive.
It did. But it was still enjoyable, and it was nice to be able just to watch them, you know.
Yeah, and get closure to those characters.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's a big thing, is to like getting closer with the characters and revisiting those characters you like so much, because we like the Modern Family characters, but it just wasn't funny.
Yeah.
It just wasn't funny anymore, but it's still on the air and still getting Emmy, so I feel like we should try it again. Mm-hmm. But one episode in particular was they wanted to do their own haunted house.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really important to Claire.
Yeah.
And so she was trying to get all of the family involved. And no one was, like, everybody was half-assing it. Like, everyone was going through their own trauma about Halloween and their own storylines. And just, it was just horrible. You know, like, the first run through, no kids were scared. Nobody was having fun. But one in particular was, what's the woman's name?
Gloria.
Why can I remember her name? Gloria, she's from, oh, crap, where is she? Columbia.
Mm-hmm.
She's from Columbia, and she has a very thick accent. And just earlier in the episode, she got made fun of for her English. And so she tried to speak in an English accent, and she didn't yeah. quite get it right. And so she was supposed to be this witch that would pop up and say, "Welcome to your nightmare." But she did it in this fake, weird yeah, American accent yeah. where she's like, "Welcome to your nightmare."
Yeah.
And
we still say that all the time.
We still say that. It's on our quote board.
Yeah.
And yes, we have a quote board.
Yes.
And I watched an interview with the entire cast. And apparently that stuck with them too.
Really?
Like, they love that line where they will make fun of her using that line all the time.
That's so great.
And like, the cast did it in unison where they all said, "Welcome to your nightmare." Ha 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 ha. And it's glorious.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, that's a great episode. I think there's several. I can't remember them right now, but Modern Family has some good Halloween episodes.
Yeah.
Because that's Claire's favorite holiday. So
right.
they always kind of play it up.
Now, one show that I think gets forgotten in time and that I think should not be forgotten because it is great television. It's a fantastic sitcom, and no one lists it as one of their favorite sitcoms, but I do. And it's Two Guys and a Girl and a Pizza Place, later to be known as Two Guys and a Girl.
Because mm-hmm.
they realized that they wrote themselves in a quarter when
the pizza place.
Because they worked at a pizza place, and they're like, we can't have these people work at a pizza place in college all the time. So they have to grow and move on. But it's starring Ryan Reynolds before he was known as Ryan Reynolds. He was mm-hmm. just, you know, like just some actor. And he's skinny, you know, like not muscular. And he is just, he's the best thing about the show. He's so funny. He has always been that funny. And they do Halloween episodes fantastically. And there's one episode. I love shows that will make an episode, like their Halloween episode or their Christmas episode, is separate from their continuity.
Yes.
I love when that happens.
So they just kind of like forgive it because it's Halloween.
Yeah. Like yeah. one in particular was called The Three Curses. And the three main cast members reject their neighbor. And so she casts spells on them. And, you know, Ryan Reynolds loses his looks and like has buck teeth and is losing his hair. And Pete grows a person that he hates head on his shoulder. And Sharon gets a penis for some reason. And it's just absolutely hysterical.
Yeah,
and
that one's the one that sticks out in my mind.
And like when Ryan Reynolds was like losing his teeth and had buck teeth and everything like that. And there's this one moment that you and I quote all the time when Sharon goes, she's like, "I have a penis," and he goes, "It's not so bad."
That's right.
She could be a model in a very specialized magazine. Everyone should check it out.
Yeah, it's really funny.
And it's really hard to find because it's not released on DVD.
Mm-hmm.
It's not online.
Yeah.
I think it's released on DVD in the UK.
Okay.
Because there was something about rights with the music on DVD and everything like
That's
that.
That's usually the case.
And so I found some copies. It doesn't matter how I found them. I have them. And so I think right after this podcast, we're going to watch those Halloween episodes.
I think that's what's going to happen. I think that's going to be fun. Yeah. Yeah. And let us know what episodes I'm sure we're forgetting a lot.
Oh, yeah. We just mentioned a few.
And just the ones that we really love to, you know, rewatch and whatnot. But tell us what your favorite Halloween episodes from television are.
Yes, please. This like because there's so many out there. I mean, there's stuff from there's a lot of great Halloween episodes out there that I read about that from shows that I don't watch, like American Horror Story or you know, like Grey's Anatomy or stuff like that. Like, tell us what you think are some of the best, you know, and like write us. And what you can do is you can go to thenerdparty.com/contact. From there, you can select which show you'd like to email. Just click that, fill out the form. It'll send an email to us. It'll send an email to the right people. So go to thenerdparty.com/contact and select Nerd Nuptial. While you're at thenerdparty.com, check out all of our other shows. We have The Senate Floor, which is our General Geek podcast. We have a spinoff show of The Senate Floor called Filibuster, which is really great movie talk. And we also have one of the greatest Star Wars podcasts out there called Aggressive Negotiations. One other thing that you can do is you can go to lootcrate.com/nerdparty and enter in code nerdparty at checkout. From there, you can get a subscription to a great geek box filled with merchandise like Pop Funkos, comic books, t-shirts, figurines, really, really great stuff. And it's you have just a little bit of time left to get the horror-themed box where you can get stuff from, you know, Nightmare on Elm Street, Scream, all that good stuff. And remember, go to lootcrate.com/nerdparty, enter in the code nerdparty, and you'll get about $40 worth of merchandise for less than $20. And if you use that web link, you'll save even more money off of that. Well, next week is going to be our final October episode of Nerd Nuptial, where we're going to talk about some of our favorite Halloween movies and some of our favorite Halloween traditions. Oh, I love you.
I know.
Hello, everyone. You know, Halloween is a very strange holiday. Personally, I don't understand it. Kids worshiping ghosts, pretending to be devils. Things on TV that are completely inappropriate for younger viewers. Things like the following half hour. Nothing seems to bother my kids, but tonight's show, which I totally wash my hands of, is really scary. So if you have sensitive children, maybe you should tuck them into bed early tonight instead of writing us angry letters tomorrow. Thanks for your attention.
Join the revolution. Join the Nerd Party.